I'm Mark Bayshore. We think of Michigan as the center of the auto industry, but there have been times in our history when production of recreational boats was a thriving industry as well. In fact, many of the best-known boat names, like Chris-Craft, originated here. Current State's Melissa Benmark has more. I like the way you think about spring and summer here. It's nice to do a segment about boats.
Well, yeah, people will be taking theirs out here pretty quick when the weather gets a little bit nicer. And I talked to author Scott Peters about boating. He's the curator of collections at the Michigan Historical Museum, and his book is called Making Waves, Michigan's Boat Building Industry, 1865 to 2000. It's published by the University of Michigan Press. When I thought about small boats in Michigan, you know, my mind's eye instantly went to, you know, the canoes full of furs for the fur trade, that kind of thing, working boats. In the mid-1800s, boats started to be used more for recreation.
It really starts up after the Civil War, when people start getting a little bit more leisure time, and also the revenues, the job wages become a little bit higher. And if you're a salaried professional or something like that, you have the money and also the time to spend on leisure. And it's further complicated with people being able to access trains going north in Michigan. We have access to the recreation areas, bigger lakes and that kind of thing.
I understand that early on it wasn't so much that people were individual boat owners as that you would go to a boat livery and rent one.
Yeah, that was a pretty common practice where people, if they wanted to go out for a day's ride, they would rent a boat and get some brief instructions on how to use it. It might have been a sailing boat or just a rowboat of one kind or another. Sometimes they had small launches, either a steam launch or a gasoline launch, to tow you to the favorite fishing grounds, and you'd have a whole string of boats that would go that way.
Michigan, of course, is known for building autos. Talk about the interaction a little bit of you know, some of the auto manufacturing expertise creeping into boat building.
Well, boats really made a good thing to start on building engines with. They were excellent test beds because the early automobile engines and any kind of gasoline engine in the early years was really, really heavy. And so a boat could support that weight, and they could test them out and try different ideas with them, with the different cylinder sizes. The speeds would go up gradually as they became more proficient at building the engines.
I understand that outboard motors first were popularized by a Michigan man who got the idea kind of from his motorcycle.
Yeah, Cameron Waterman. He was an interesting fellow where he was actually going to Yale and was on their rowing team over there and became interested in motorcycle driving. But also when the end of the season came for driving around the motorcycle, he took it off and put it in his chair in his dorm room and hung it on the back of his chair. And came up with the idea of, well, maybe I could do that with a boat. And they took the motorcycle engine, attached a propeller and shaft to it, and also a chain drive, and tested it out on the cold waters of the Detroit River one day. The boat's engine was nicknamed Coughing Sarah by the other people in the party that he was going out with. But they successfully tested the first outboard engine in Michigan here.
And then since he was a patent lawyer, he kind of got some of the patent stuff straightened out to his own advantage.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, he could never really patent the whole thing. And so he became unsuccessful in that over the long haul. But other people, Ollie Evinrude and others, picked up the idea and carried it forward. At one time, there were numerous outboard engine manufacturers here in the state also that took that same idea and carried it forward.
Bootlegging, apparently, during Prohibition was a big deal, and I didn't realize, of course, that part of that was because of proximity to Canada. They called it the Detroit Windsor Funnel. Talk about the role that speedboats played in illegal whiskey distribution.
Well, it was really good for the boat builders to have Prohibition because they could supply both sides of the industry, both the law enforcement side and also the rum runners themselves. Everybody wanted a fast boat for different reasons. And the boat building community in the greater Detroit area and also up and down the St. Clair River and other places around the country, too, were looking to provide people with fast boats. And we had what was called the Detroit Windsor Funnel, which was sort of a takeoff on the Detroit Windsor Tunnel, obviously. But law enforcement was trying to intercept something on the order of a volume of 2,500 cases a day coming across the river. And usually what they had was a small boat, usually underpowered, The rum runners could drive circles around them, generally speaking. And so it was kind of a lose-lose situation for the law enforcement folks, but it also promoted wanting a fast boat and another reason for speed.
Listeners will recognize the name Garwood and Chris Craft. Those boat companies got their start here.
That's right. Garwood was actually a racer. He was actually better known for an invention that he made of the hydraulic dump truck hoist, the thing that tips the dump truck bodies over to dump the load of dirt. And that's how he made his fortune and eventually got into boat racing. His father owned a boat up in Minnesota that was a small passenger steamer, and he served on that as a kid. And then in his adult life, he became a boat racer and led the way in developing really, really fast boats. He became the world water speed record holder numerous times, competed against other boat drivers internationally, and also won a race called the Gold Cup numerous times.
Definitely a lot of boom and bust in the cycles of boat making. But during World War II, it sounds like there was quite a boom with Michigan producing landing boats for amphibious invasion.
Chris Craft was one of the largest manufacturers of landing craft for the war effort. And in fact, if it wasn't for Chris Craft, we wouldn't have had the ability to invade the islands in the Pacific or even Europe at that
Omaha
time.
Beach
yeah,
and
Omaha
such
Beach,
like that,
right.
Yeah.
And so it was the landing craft that were built there. There were also larger scale landing boats that were built by the DeFoe Company up in Bay City. And between these different kinds of landing craft and also the support vessels around them that helped mark the waterways and all, a lot of them were small boats that were built in Michigan.
And it sounds like that was maybe the height of it. It sounds like there are a lot smaller builders and a lot fewer now, really, since the war.
Yeah, we lost a number of boat builders right after the war. I think there were five major ones that we lost at that time. And they were probably making boats that the public didn't want anymore based on older designs from the pre-war era and also pre-war materials. And we have a lot of the industrial stylists in the auto industry that were coming up with new ways of things to look and appear. And that's what the buying customer really wanted.
So in the course of researching for this book, do you think there might be any new trends coming to Michigan in terms of the recreational boat industry or new ideas?
I think the change in materials is always going to be something that's constantly sort of out there. Also, I think going back to customization and making boats more identifiable by individuals, when we have mass marketing and the ways that we do now where anybody can buy anything, but there it's all pretty uniform, I think there's probably going to be a trend towards customization in the distant future anyway.
Do you boat?
I do. I've got a little aluminum rowboat with a small little outboard engine, but going out this weekend, so it should be some fun.
Well, Scott Peters, thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it, Melissa. Thanks for the invitation.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.